be here this morning. It's good to feel the presence of the Lord in this house. Amen, amen, amen. And I will do my best to be through before you get through today. Praise God. We won't let the roast burn. You'll be back tonight and we'll just see what the Lord has for us. Praise God. 6 o'clock this evening. Feel good about the service tonight. And I'll share with you, being baby dedication, I may address many of my comments today to men. A lot of things I will say, I believe, will be fitting to the woman. I believe in this hour, God is calling men as never before to take up the armor. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. Lead us to spiritual victories that we've never had before. Genesis chapter 4. Let's look at verse number 4. Verse number 4 of Genesis 4. I may do more talking, exhorting than preaching. Whatever happened, let's just let it happen. Just have a thought on my heart. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. He respected Abel. Not only his offering, but his offering brought God respect for Abel. Evidently, Abel had a choice to bring something else. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect, or not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Father, I just pray you anoint the messenger tonight, today, this morning. Certainly need your divine help and strength. God, as we address this people, I pray that they will feel my spirit this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. More than the words that could be said, because we recognize our vocabulary is very limited. But God, if somehow they can feel our spirit today, our burden today, I pray that you can affect every man towards the kingdom of God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We need great men in this hour to stand in the gap and make advantage. Thank you for all the men of this church. Thank you for every man that's here. And I just pray that you will speak to this audience right now. And everybody say amen. You may be seated. I read to you an account from Genesis 4. The first family, the first fight, and it was among the first brothers. Amen. The first family, and now we read of the first fight, and it was among the brethren. In Genesis chapter 4, we get a look at what some people call a dysfunctional family. You've heard this term used quite readily the last couple of years. Seems that, you know, when a person has a problem, whatever it is, they term it dysfunctional. And I understand they have all kind of talk shows going on the tube. And they're talking to dysfunctional people and trying to understand, you know, how they click. I could stay there a while. Dysfunctional. Well, the scripture indicates to us that the first family was dysfunctional. The question that needs to be asked on the talk shows today, who is not dysfunctional? Right. Adam and Eve, the very first family, became dysfunctional. And we are descendants of Adam and Eve. Truth of the matter, everybody is dysfunctional. Scripture says we're born into sin, shapen in iniquity. I don't care how much your mother said to you that you was an angel when you was born. All of us were little devils and rascals. Amen. And you had parents that brought you into this world, and they were dysfunctional. And here we are trying to get to heaven, trying to be saved. And we all have our problems and our shortcomings. Amen. We have to understand that Satan is after the seed. We talked about this in a message here a few weeks ago. We preached a baby dedication this morning, the seed of man. Amen. Satan is after the seed. And there in that very first family, Satan got two blood brothers at odds with one another. And they started fighting. And you know the story. It ends up in a murder, a killing. Cain got jealous of Abel. He just somehow, it was something about the favor of God brought about an intimidation upon Cain. And Cain couldn't handle it. It had nothing to do with Abel. It was God that saw the offering that Abel brought. And he accepted Abel's offering. And he accepted Abel himself. But Cain refused to bring the right spiritual sacrifice. And Cain took it up into his hands. And he got mad with his brother. And he got so angry that he destroyed his brother. The truth of the matter that in this spiritual warfare that we fight, men who have been born of the Spirit, and I'm speaking of women also, we're in the struggle for life, and men and women, you say what you want to, there are certain men and women, they get favor with God, and because of their sacrifice, God finds favor with them and God pours His blessings out on them. And then all of a sudden, here's a brother or sister, maybe who has not brought an acceptable sacrifice. They get angry with the blessing that the brother has received from God. And they take it out on their relatives or their brothers. We're all brothers in Christ. We are born into the family of God. Amen. Dysfunctional. Most people have problems. Or they are intimidated with others' success. They look at a man, they look at a woman, and they decide if they're successful or not. And if they term that individual successful, if you're not careful, you can get an attitude, you can get a spirit towards that brother. Because of their success, and all the while, you do not understand the secret of that person's success. You do not know the sacrifice that they might have brought to Jesus Christ to obtain that level of success. God, help us not to look at one another and what we have and what we don't have. Let me just tell you, your success is going to depend upon what you do with Jesus Christ. It's not in the things that you possess. We look at possessions, but success in life has nothing to do with possession. Amen. What happened to Cain was that he couldn't handle the blessings of God upon his brother. And he took his life. God, help us in this hour. Amen. There are two extremes of personalities that we have to be careful with. the man with low self-esteem. And then to the other extreme, the man that has a spirit of arrogancy about him. Low self-esteem can destroy a person's personality. Amen. God wants you to think good of yourself. Let me just tell you, you're the creation of God. He made you. He formed you. You're in the hands of God. You're somebody special. He didn't make junk when He made you. So I don't care if your brother or if your mom and dad or your brother or sister has told you that you're no good, that you're sorry, you can't ever be anything. Let me just tell you, you serve a God that can change your circumstances. And you need to think good of yourself and what God has done in your life. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Amen, 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 amen. But at the same time, let us be careful not to let the spirit of arrogance touch us and affect us. Amen. We're sinners saved by grace. Had not been for the mercy of God, where would we be today? Hallelujah. You know, I thought about the Pharisee that went to pray. You know, he got over there and he tried to impress God with a beautiful prayer. And he said, I thank my God I'm not like that dude over there in the corner. Amen. You know what he had? He had a spirit of arrogance about it. He thought because of who he was and the position that he had. Amen. And the possession that he owned, he had it all together. But who do you think impressed God the most? Wasn't the beautiful prayer that he prayed. Amen. Amen. That old boy that just said, hey, God, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. You can believe one thing. That impressed God a whole lot more than that guy who thought he had it all together. If you have found the favor of God, don't let somebody put a spirit of low self-esteem or a spirit of arrogance on you. Amen. It is so easy sometimes to get the mindset or the mentality that when we speak of Canaan land, we speak in of heaven. We know Canaan land could be typed as a type of heaven. But the Bible, let me just tell you, Israel's Canaan land was far from heaven. God chose a man to deliver Israel out of bondage. You know the story how they had a journey and they crossed the Red Sea and then they wandered in the wilderness. They were looking for the land that flowed with milk and honey. They were looking for their Canaan, their promised land. And it's so easy for us to think that our promised land, if we can ever get there, is heaven. But I beg to differ with you this morning. I believe our promised land, I believe our Canaan can be on planet Earth. Hello? I said, I believe it can be right here where we are living. You can have the land that's flowing with milk and honey. You can have the blessings of God. You can have the favor of God here in this life. Don't get me too loud, sound man. My monitors may be... And I'm feeling the Holy Ghost here. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We think Canaan land is a place where there's no struggles. But Canaan land, read it. When Israel, when they walked across Jordan, they had to go and possess their Canaan. They fought all kinds of people. They had to walk around their walls. And they walked until the walls fell. They fought. I said they fought. They struggled. You read the history of Israel. Living in the promised land, they had their struggles. But in the midst of struggle, they had their victories. Never was a man like Joshua. Never was a man like Caleb. Hallelujah. I don't know what struggle you're going through right now, but let me tell you, you're in the promised land. You're in the place where milk and honey is flowing. And whatever you need from God, you can have it today. Hallelujah. We think we don't have struggles when we get to the promised land. But in their Canaan, they had struggles. Let me just tell you, when I get to heaven, I think I'm going to be able to lay my crown and my sword down. I don't intend to fight no more enemies. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, but I'm not going to sit here and let the devil browbeat me and try to tell me that I can't do something for God because I'm in a struggle. We're all in a struggle. You was born in a struggle. Hallelujah. If you live this life, you're going to live in a struggle. But thanks be unto God who is able to deliver us out of the hands of the enemy. Let's love Him right now. Oh, glory. The scripture said, and we don't understand this, the kingdom of God suffereth violence. And the violent does what? Take it by force. I'm talking about living in Canaan land. I feel like I'm in Canaan land this morning. Amen, amen. Right now, I don't feel like I got no struggles at all. I know tomorrow I'll face them again. Amen, but I'm going to take advantage of this morning. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. I want to say this right. I speak to the men of this church. When it comes to spiritual warfare, men have a tendency to be lazy. I said, when it comes to spiritual warfare, men have a tendency to be lazy. Now, when it comes to material things and reaching for things in life and goals and ambition, they will do everything to reach that apex. Amen. They'll work untold hours trying to be successful, trying to do, you know, their lifelong dream, getting to a place that they can say, I've made it, I've arrived. But flip the coin on spiritual warfare. Men, we all have a tendency to be lazy. It's getting quiet in here now. Truth of the matter is that men have to make themselves worship. It's easier for women, for the female, to worship God openly. Their nature. But for man, macho man, the guy that's got it together, king of his house, walk into church and sit there and say, do it, preacher. I'm present. Amen. I'm going to pay my tithes and mark me present. But when it comes to worshiping the God of heaven that allowed you to be here this morning, men, we have to fight through that warfare. Spiritual warfare. I will say to all of us, I'm preaching to myself. The macho feeling is not popular with God or your family. The day of the Superman mentality is over with. There's no Superman anymore. It's history. And that Superman mentality gets nowhere with God. If you're going to approach God, you're going to have to get on your face and humble yourself before the Almighty God. He is not impressed with our macho mentality. He is looking for men in 1997 that will be willing to break out of this mindset that we're in and become a worshiper of Almighty God. Amen. Amen. When it comes to real life, that macho feeling that we men may have, it may attract that woman that you're living with, but it will not fulfill her. And one day, you're going to face reality. To the young man that may be in your house, to the young lady that may be in your house, it may impress them for a while, but there will come a time it will not fulfill them. It will not impress them. They will look at you like a robot. They'll look at you as something that's mechanical. What this world needs is a family that knows how to love one another. They need a dad that knows how to touch and to care and to communicate to the wife and to the kids. And we can relate all of that to spiritual things. God's looking for a man that will search for Him and seek for Him. Tears will never rust your armor. I'll say that again, men. Tears will never rust your armor. God's looking for men who's willing to be broken for the cause of Christ and shed some tears for their family. Man, I'm feeling so many things right now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Abel won favor with God because he offered him what God wanted. You will never be successful in spiritual warfare until you can move the heart of God. And for you to move the heart of God, you're going to have to break out of this macho feeling and saying, I got it together. Hallelujah. 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 I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. We're just living in a day that men's got to become real men and understand their spiritual role. The real issue is, does God receive what you are offering? That's the real issue. What are you offering God? Is it accepted by Him? We don't bring animals anymore. Amen. We don't bring a literal blood sacrifice anymore. We have to bring ourselves. We are living sacrifices. So the real issue, what you are offering today to God, is God accepting it? He said Abel was a more excellent sacrifice. He is not impressed with your papa's prayer. It makes God sick. God knows before we approach Him who we are. That's what makes Him so sick. You go to these cathedrals and they pray these beautiful prayers. And my God, it sounds like a Philadelphia lawyer praying. That makes God sick. Hallelujah. He wants us to come before Him with an honest heart. That's the only offering He's going to accept. Because He already knows who we are. And since He knows who we are, if we are not honest with God, He is going to refuse the sacrifice. Chapter 3 and verse 9. Look at it just for a moment. And time is swiftly getting away. Genesis chapter 3 verse 9. Amen. And the Lord called unto Adam, and He said unto him, where art thou? Where are you, Adam? God asked a question, but His question was not that God didn't know where He was at. The question was for Adam, and He was really saying, Adam, do you know where you are? I know where you are, Adam, but do you know where you are? I'm talking to some men this morning. Do you really know where you are with God? Where do you stand with the Maker? He knows you. He knows the position you're in. But are you deceived this morning thinking you're somewhere and you're not? Adam knew where he was at. Adam knew where he was at. But God was trying to impress upon him, Adam, you better understand where you are, buddy. Amen. Let me just tell you, the first thing that sin makes us do, you know what it is? It makes us want to hide. Hello? Don't get too tight on me. I promise you, it's going to get a little better. We're just plowing right now, and give me about 5 minutes, and we're going to get to the good part. See, when Adam sinned, what did he want to do? He wanted to hide. He wanted to isolate himself. So he hid. Thinking he's hiding from God. Amen. But you can't hide from God. Amen. Where are you, Adam? Read verse 10. Do you have that? Genesis, verse 10, that same book. Follow me here now. Amen. This is good. Ooh, this is good. Man, get a hold of this. Amen.
And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid.
I heard your voice, and I was afraid.
Because I was naked.
Because I was naked.
And I hid myself.
And I went and hid. Four things. He heard. Okay. He was afraid. So therefore, he realized he was naked and was fixing to be exposed. And so he went to hide from God. You can't hide from God. Amen. Amen. Men, we can walk into this building on Sunday morning and we can put on a face. We can put on a certain personality. We can put on a certain facade. And we say, boy, I'm going to do just enough this morning to get by. I'm going to fool my friends and I'm going to fool my family. And you think you're hiding. Because you've heard his voice. You know you've heard his voice. And when you hear his voice, you get afraid. And you don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, you're worrying about your nakedness. And see, when a man's naked, he wants to be isolated. He wants to be by himself. He wants to pull away from the church. He wants to pull away from his friends. Because he realizes he's naked. And so he goes and he tries to hide. Where are you today? Are you hiding in the bushes? Amen. Some of you are hiding from your wife. You won't reveal yourself to her and what the struggles you're going through with. And so you walk in the house after work, and all of a sudden, you hide yourself. You put on another face. Amen. Your children, you don't want them to know who you really are. So you hide yourself from your boys and girls. I know what I'm preaching this morning. Amen, 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 amen. God is speaking to somebody today. You need to come out of hiding. Hallelujah. Where are you? Most men don't like open confrontation. They'll talk real good about things that don't matter. But things that matter, things that are important, they hide.
Amen. And man, I'm picking on you this morning. No, I'm not. I'm trying to wake you up this morning. Amen. The women that have their day, it seems like the Pentecostal church a lot of time picks on women, but I'm picking on the men. Where are you this morning with God? God knows. Do you know where you are? Some of you think you are hiding. You know that you are naked. You know that you are in sin. But you don't want nobody to know. And you walk in and you put on a different face. Amen. Quit hiding from God. Quit hiding from your wife. Quit hiding from your kids. Amen. I've seen marriages break up. I've seen men have extramarital activities outside of the family. And you know what they say of the preacher? My wife don't understand me. You know why she don't understand you? You've been hiding all these years. Oh God, you won't let her know. I need holding. I need help. I need caressing. But no, you macho. You Mr. So-and-so. So you hide from your family, but you get a sweetheart on the side and you tell the secrets to them. Amen. I know a lot of you would like for Brother Shelley Hendricks to be in this pulpit this morning. But Brother Shelley Hendricks is not the pastor today. Amen. I know where I'm walking. I'm headed toward you this morning. I feel God in this house. You've heard the voice of God. Amen. Quit hiding. Amen. 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 Sister Twyla, you better come for the music, but play real softly. This is just, what did Brother Bo say? Give them a little encouragement. Amen. Praise God. I'm speaking to some men who's under extreme pressure this morning. And you are as a time bomb. Is ticking away. And it's ticking. And it's ticking. And it's ticking. And you at the point almost of explosion. Amen. Let me just tell you. You were born by yourself and to yourself, and you will die by yourself. To yourself. And the things that you have been building to keep you hid from the reality of it all, that thing has become your prison and you can't escape out of it. You want to break out of it, but you've been in it so long you don't think you can break out of that hiding place. But I've come to give you hope this morning. You've been shut up. You've been silenced too long. Amen. And you need a breakthrough. You need to break out. You need a Paul and Silas experience. Amen. Jesus was about to leave. Concerned about his followers. Concerned about his disciples. Last Supper. 12 disciples. I'm talking about the Last Supper. Time was running out. They're in this room. And Jesus is there. On one side is Judas, and on the other side is John. And here's these macho disciples. Who's going to sit on the left? Who's going to sit on the right? Who's going to lead this thing when he's gone? And they're jostling for position. They're worrying about their future.
What's he going to do for me?
And you know the story. I don't have time to go into it. But this is the point that I want to make. While 11 disciples are arguing about the future,
testing that needs to be down.
So the enemy wanted to do that. Break conviction, break thought. But listen to me this morning. Amen. Here's these men arguing and worrying about position and power. But I see another man, only one, while they're sitting at that table, not saying a word, but unusual, strange.
That's right.
Laying on the breast of Jesus. Hallelujah. Laying on the breast of Jesus. I wonder how strange it would be while I'm preaching here right now. What you would say if a couple of these men that's sitting by one another, all of a sudden a man fall over on the other's breast and start weeping and crying. You say, what's wrong with him? What's happened to him? But John, he could care less about the future. They called him John, but as he stayed close to Jesus, they quit calling him John and they called him the disciple that Jesus loved. Not him living to Jesus, but the one that Jesus loved. I wonder what made Jesus love him more than he loved the other. Hallelujah. He was willing to break out. Amen. He was willing to break out of the norm. And he fell in love with Jesus. And Jesus fell in love with him. You follow his life. As you follow his life, even on the cross, some of the last words that Jesus spoke, he looked at John and he said, John, the man that God loved, behold your mom. And mom, behold John. And the Bible says when that all that was over with, he took his mother, and mother went home with John because he knew John was in love with him and he wanted to entrust the safety of Mary into the hands of John. Amen. And when you look at all of the disciples and the death, they were sawed asunder. They were crucified upside down. Look at John. He was the only one that died a death in old age. Amen. I said he died his death in old age. They couldn't get rid of him. What made it? I believe he knew how to love God. He knew how to shed tears. He wasn't ashamed to fall on the breast of Jesus. And we have men, you hiding. You've been hiding from your kids. You've been hiding from your wife. You've been hiding from God, but God knows where you are. But I'm asking, where are you? Are you willing to break the silence this morning? I said, are you willing to break the silence this morning? That silent world you've been living in? Are you willing to step out this morning and say, hey, I want to fall in love with him all over again? Amen. I've been talking to the Lord this week. Amen. God's talking to you now. He's falling on your shoulder. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you willing to break the silence? Ooh.
I'm sorry, but I can't help it. I just feel it right now. God ordained it so. God's divine order was for man to seek after Him. That's God's order. And let me just tell you, seek after God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know what will happen next? That little wife you married to will seek after you. As you follow Christ, she'll follow you. Hallelujah. Let's pray right now. I'm just feeling the Lord in this place. Somebody needs to just go ahead and respond. Breast of Jesus. He was so close to her, and they had to say, John, ask him. You ask him, John. You ask him, John. You ask him, John. I want to get close to God this morning. Hallelujah. You talking about the favor of God if God falls in love with you. Like John, Jesus said, that ain't none of your business, Simon Peter, how he's going to die. You leave that up to me. You leave it up to me, Simon Peter. I'll do what I want to with John. Glory, 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 glory. Break the silence this morning. I said, are you willing to break the silence this morning? Are you willing to tell God how much you love Him? Amen. Are you ready to give Him adoration? Are you ready to really tell Him, God, you're wonderful. God, you're so wonderful. God, you're so good. Amen. Somebody needs to break the silence. You need to come out of hiding this morning. Amen. 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 You need to be laying prostrate on this floor this morning. You did what your heart's telling you to do. Say, God, I'm undone. Amen. I'm wretched. I'm miserable. Say, oh, I'll expose something. You don't need to worry about exposing something. God already knows. We're all there, men. Pastor's there. You're there. We're all there. We all have had our prison. Let's break out of prison today. Amen, 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 amen. I got some hurting moms, hurting wives here today because you won't break out. You won't break out. I got some young people that's hurting this morning because you won't break out. Sin's about to get them. This world's about to get them. They need to see Daddy weeping, 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 weeping. Amen. God in heaven knows I didn't know it was going to end this way because I got some more notes here. I wanted to end it on a high note, but I can't right now. Everybody obey God. Obey God. Men, don't hide between the pews this morning. These ladies going to let us have it up here today. I said they're going to let us have his front up here today. Put your head on his breast. Hear his heartbeat. Hear the blood pumping in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get up and walk around in this building. Get up and come to this front. Oh, man. Lift your hands. Oh, Jesus. God's getting turned on this morning. I said, you turning God on this morning. You pleasing God this morning. Somebody near you, man, put your arm around the other man. Let's embrace one another. Pray for one another. Thank you, Jesus. Of this church and to any guest men that are here today, would you join us around the front? I want us all to stand together as an army of God. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God.
to pay.
Come on in close, men.
To
to bring my
back.
I promise
the Lord
that I'd
make it now, and now I am here
to faith.
Just span your arms to one another and just make a connection here. Hallelujah. If these group of men, ladies, could get it together, you're talking about a revival. We're going to have a revival. Hallelujah. Ladies, I want you to stretch your hand towards these men. Pray for your husband. Pray for the men of this church. Life will be better for you if us men get it together. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, I pray you touch the army of the Lord among these men. Give them swords to fight. Give them shields of faith. Let the whole armor of God be in their hands and upon their breast, their body. We got to fight the good fight of faith. We got to lay claim and hold on eternal life. I pray for their wife. I pray for their kids. I pray for their family. I pray for their job. In the name of Jesus Christ, give them victory. Hallelujah. 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 Amen, 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 amen. God, these men are going to break out. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God, I pray that they will somehow, Lord, develop a worship in their heart like never before. They're going to lead their families on Sunday night. Amen, amen, amen. They're going to be the leaders in worship. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Worship is going to become a vital part of every life, every man here right now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to have a men's meeting, and I will probably take up here Sunday morning. We have Brotherhood Prayer Breakfast, and If you would allow me, I may just take up right here and finish this Bible message, men. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. I thank you for your response this morning, but I hope you didn't do it because of me. But you are ready and willing to fall on the breast of Jesus Christ and learn of His ways. Amen. Amen. We only have a few short years left, men. We're living in the last days. If you live to be an old man, it's not going to be many years, but I believe the rapture of the church is here. It's upon us. God, help us become a worshiper like you've never become before. Glory to God. Glory to God. I had many verses I wanted to read, but right now I feel a release in the Holy Ghost. Be back this evening. I would like to see all of you in the prayer room early for prayer. Amen. It all starts there, brethren. Men, men, men. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We do not take the women of this church lightly. I wouldn't want to be here if it wasn't for these precious ladies that we have. Ladies, I'm just trying to strengthen these men. If I can strengthen these men, you're going to see a difference in your home. You're going to see a difference in the relationship they have with you and the children. Amen. God bless you. I love you. I thank you. Leave in faith. Leave in faith this morning. Thank God for manpower. I said, thank God for manpower. God's given us some manpower here today. Let's clap our hands for the Lord Jesus Christ.
hug two or three necks, greet one another, men, and then we're going to be dismissed. Tell your brother how much you love him. Appreciate him.